Sir, Han replied, trying for a meek and chastened tone of voice.
This is just to fix a ventilation thing.
Captain, the officer bellowed. I will be addressed as Captain, Lieutenant.
He managed to squeeze more contempt into the word Lieutenant than Han would have thought possible.
Yes, Captain, sir. I was just saying...
You,
the captain said, spinning on his heel to thrust his chin at Scarlet.
Under arrest. I will have you in a detention cell and talking to an interrogator droid before the hour is out.
I think that's a mistake, Han said.
And you,
the captain continued, spinning back to Han,
will be lucky not to be shot for dereliction of duty. Give me your commanding officer's name. I plan to have him here immediately to deal with you.
He gave the captain his most disarming smile and moved to draw his blaster. Time to take care of the loudmouthed idiot once and for all. The idea felt like coming home. Before Han's weapon had even cleared his holster, the captain spun sideways and threw his own head against the corridor wall. Scarlet was standing behind him, hands raised and knees bent. It took Han several long heartbeats before he realized she was in a fighting stance. The captain rebounded from the wall, staggering back toward her, stunned and unsteady on his feet. Scarlet snapped her right foot up into his stomach, dropping him to his knees with a loud woof. She kicked him again, this time between the shoulder blades, and dropped him to the floor. She dived onto his back and locked her arms around his neck. The captain struggled feebly for a few seconds, then went limp. Scarlet stood up, her cheeks flushed with exertion, but looking none the worse for wear.
Is he dead?
Han asked.
Put your blaster away, Scarlet replied. If you fire it in here, every alarm goes off.
Right,
Han said, and slid it back into his holster.
Is he dead?
No. Does your identity card open these doors? We'll need to get him out of the hallway.
Han punched the button next to the nearest door, and it whooshed open.
Yep.
The room turned out to be a meeting space with a small table and six chairs, currently unoccupied. Han dragged the unconscious captain inside and dumped him unceremoniously under the table. Scarlet was already moving down the corridor to their destination.
Ready?
She asked. Han nodded. She punched the entry code. The door opened. Inside was a small technical station. The walls were covered with control panels and displays. It looked exactly like the kind of room that would house a cabling junction. But in the center of the room, where the conduit access should have been, was a large control station with an Imperial officer manning it.
I told you this was a terrible plan.
Excuse me,
the officer said.
Are we in the right room?
Scarlet asked no one in particular.
Non-military personnel,
the officer started.
Not allowed on this level,
Han finished for him.
We know. Say, there's supposed to be a major trunk line here with a conduit access point.
The officer nodded.
Yes, but the last security audit noted it as a flaw, so the cable was rerouted. This communications security station was put in to utilize the space. Do you need access to the trunk line?
Not as such,
Scarlet replied. For the first time since he'd met her, Han thought she looked a little lost.
So you work on the security detail?
Han asked.
Yes,
the officer nodded again.
Would your access card get you into the intelligence service center above us?
Han smiled gentle encouragement at the man.
Sure, but there's no way they'd let non-military...
Han drew his blaster in one smooth motion and clubbed the Imperial officer on top of the head. The man slid out of his chair, boneless, and wound up in a heap on the floor. Scarlet blinked at Han, opened her mouth as if she had something to say, then closed it without speaking.
We tried your plan,
Han said, holding up the access card.
The rest of this we're doing my way.
Chapter 9.
This is your better plan?
Scarlet said under her breath.
It is,
Han whispered back. The intelligence service was the whole planet Seorin, maybe the whole Imperial Corps, writ small. There were no colors in the flooring, the walls, the doors, only shades of gray and black. The air had a sharp, astringent smell that reminded Han of cleaning up blood. The stink of the well-maintained interrogation chamber.
Steal a key card and just walk in?
Scarlet said.
Why didn't I think of that? You know we're going to die.
No one will see us coming,
Han said.
And everyone dies sometime.
Not comforting.
The alternative is we go spend a bunch of time waiting for you to come up with some other plan that doesn't work. This way, we get all the risk out of the way quickly and get off this sinkhole of a planet.
The guard at the main desk looked up at them, curious but not yet alarmed.
I think you're on the wrong level.
Han grinned and held up the keycard without breaking stride.
Special permission. Someone routed the ventilation power right through the secure facility. We gotta move it back before anyone compromises it.
The guard stood up, frowning.
I wasn't informed about that.
General Skreel doesn't like us announcing security flaws until after they're addressed,
Scarlet said.
Skreel?
The guard said, his eyebrows reaching for his hairline.
Just take us a minute,
Han said as they reached a thick steel door. He slid the key card through the reader, and the display shifted from red to green with a loud beep. The door slid open.
See?
As they stepped into the data center, Scarlet pulled a storage disk and diagnostic interface out of her pocket. Around them, 1,000 pillars of black ceramic glowed under blue light. The hiss of coolant and the almost inaudible ticking of power relays were the only sounds. She stepped to the nearest pillar, slid her fingers across its surface to open the control panel and attach the interface. It squealed once, and a bright red warning code blinked on its face.
Do we have a problem?
Han asked.
Several, Scarlet said. But this isn't one of them.
Her fingers moved gracefully over the interface controls. The red gave way to a soft blue. She took a security chit from another pocket, slid it into the interface's spare slot, and fed the disk into the dark pillar.
Did we get it?
Soon,
she said.
So how did you wind up joining the rebellion?
What? Why?
Just making conversation,
she said.
An old guy and a kid were looking for a ride, and I needed the money,
Han said.
After that, it was just bad luck.
The pillar chimed, and Scarlet took out the disk. The screen of the diagnostic interface flared and started running through a reboot sequence.
We should get out of the room now,
she said. At the front desk, the guard was scowling and tapping at his console. Han felt a tightness in his gut. His fingertip drifted toward his blaster.
Right then,
Han said.
We've got the power routing fixed, and...
The alarm sounded, and the great steel door slammed shut behind them with a deep gong-like clang. The guard rose up, blaster in hand. Han pulled his own and shot him before the Imperial could find his aim. Together he and Scarlet raced for the doors. In the outer corridor, emergency lights flared red, while men and women in Imperial uniforms scuttled in 100 levels of panic.
We have to get down to the street level,
Scarlet said.
There's a supply conveyor that runs from here to a holding facility close to the docks.
She stopped at the lifts. All of them showed the black and red symbol of secure lockdown. She took a small crowbar from her belt and popped the access panel free.
We'll be going through the warehouses.
Actually, I've seen those,
Han said. She deftly stripped three wires, crossed the connections, and reinserted them. When the unit sparked, she ignored it. The indicator on the lift stuttered back to life. The door slid open. 10 stormtroopers, weapons drawn, looked out at them. For a moment, no one moved.
Ah,
Han said.
Thank goodness we, got you guys. Did you know there's been a security breach?
Halt! In the name of the Empire!
one of the stormtroopers shouted, and Scarlet pulled the wires free. The lift doors closed on a barrage of blaster fire. Scarlet cursed under her breath and popped open a second access panel.
We don't have time,
Han said.
They're gonna get those doors open.
I can do this,
Scarlet said between clenched teeth. The lift doors boomed as something struck them from within. Han shifted his weight from one foot to the other. At the edge of the bank of lifts, a door was marked with a sign for manual access. A stairway. Every muscle in his body was tensed with the need to run. Scarlet spat out an obscenity. The lift doors opened a centimeter, and a blaster barrel stuck out.
All right, enough being clever,
Han said, taking Scarlet by the shoulder.
Run, now!
The stairway dropped down 100 or more floors below them, and rose another 20 above, all lit by the angry red of the security alarms. Han and Scarlet hurried down them 3 steps at a time. The sound of confused and angry voices echoed behind them. Han's breath was short, his legs burning from effort. The distance beneath them didn't seem to be getting any smaller. He stopped before he was quite sure why he'd done it. Scarlet went down another half flight, paused, and looked back over her shoulder at him. Her black eyes were confused for a moment, and then she heard it too. The tramping of booted feet. Han leaned over the railing and looked down. Maybe 10 floors below them, the alarm lights threw shadows across the handrails. Soldiers. Coming up.
Come on,
Scarlet said, heading for the closest door. But Han stopped her, his hand on her arm.
Up, he said. What about up?
Nothing's up there. No flyer stations, no walkways, just transmission towers and air.
The sound of boots grew louder. Han turned and started back up.
Solo!
Come on, he shouted. I've got an idea.
Running down the stairs had been bad. Running up was 1,000 times worse. Every flight felt longer than the one before. They passed the door of the intelligence center, back where they'd come from, and then went up past it. Below them, they heard doors being kicked open and the whine of scanning droids. Han forced himself on. His muscles were burning with the effort. Someone below them shouted, and a bright red blaster bolt burned the air in the shaft.
We should hurry, Scarlet said.
Am hurrying.
You should do it faster.
At the foot of the next flight of stairs, she paused, fixing something to the handrail. Han leaned against the wall.
I didn't get any rest last night, he said.
All right.
Just saying, I can usually run better than this.
Scarlet pulled a hair-thin strand of monofilament across the steps, just below waist-high. In the red light, it was practically invisible. The drum of footsteps grew louder.
What?
Han said, then swallowed.
What's that?
That's a few more seconds, she said. Let's go.
Han turned back up, pushing himself. They made it up another 2 full flights, both of them running with their shoulders touching the wall, when an electrical discharge crackled through the air. A man's voice rose in panic, and another one shouted it down.
That was us, right?
Han said.
We did that?
Makes them take it a little slower, Scarlet said. Hope whatever you've got in mind is a really good idea.
Me too.
It felt like an hour, or a day, or a few seconds before they reached the access panel at the top of the stairway. A polished steel grate covered it, but just beyond, Han could see the brightness of daylight. Scarlet pulled an electronic lockpick from her belt, at the same time Han shot the lock. Smoking and chattered, the grate swung open.
That works too, Scarlet said, putting the lockpick back.
The rooftop spread out around them, a landscape of ducts and conduits, grating walkways and massive transmission towers. The largest tower rose 100 meters over the rooftop, reaching toward the clouds. Scaffolds and ladders rose up its center. Han pointed to it.
There,
he said.
Go!
They sprinted over the rough ground, reaching the tower's ladder at the same time the first stormtrooper spilled onto the roof and took aim. Han boosted Scarlet up, then followed her, climbing with one hand and tapping his comlink with the other. Blaster bolts hissed through the air and blackened the steel.
Was there anything more to this plan? Scarlet asked as they climbed.
I'm working on it,
he said, and the call went through.
Chewie, it's me. Tell me the Falcon is warmed up and ready to go.
The comlink groaned with the Wookiee's voice.
Almost is not a good word, Han said. I need you up here now. I'm on a transmission tower on top of the Imperial Intelligence Service Center, and there's a lot of people shooting at me.
Chewbacca's howl maxed out the comlink speaker. 20 more stormtroopers had come onto the roof. The sharpness of their commander's gestures made him look as if he were very awkwardly waving. Scarlet reached the gantry at the ladder's top and paused, rummaging through her tool belt.
I've got a better idea, Han said. Why don't you get in the air and come get me first, and then I'll explain how it happened when no one's shooting at me!
Scarlet held a black cylinder between her finger and thumb with a pleased smile. Han nodded at it in query, and she shook her head. She mouthed, "Keep going," and hunched at the top of the ladder they'd just come up. Chewbacca grumbled. On the rooftop, the stormtroopers were beginning a systematic advance on the tower.
No, it's all right, Han shouted. She's here with me. We're both on the tower, but we need you to get us out of here.
He reached the bottom of another ladder and looked back. Scarlet was hunched over and moving toward him quickly. Behind her, a bright orange flare marked the first ladder's top. Chewbacca grumbled again.
Well, you may have to go without clearance. You can take the fine out of my cut.
A volley of blaster fire cut through the gantryway, striking sparks. Han fired half a dozen times, not bothering to aim. Chewbacca howled from the comlink, but Han couldn't hear what he'd said. The connection dropped as Scarlet reached him.
What did you do?
He asked, nodding back behind her.
The decking tape I had for getting into the shaft. It's melting down that ladder. We didn't need it, did we?
Nope,
he said. And they started up again. Level after level, they climbed, the legs of the transmission tower narrowing around them. The stormtroopers surrounded the tower's base, firing up at them, but the steel girders and webwork of ladders and conduits took the damage. Scarlet kept sabotaging the path behind them. The only direction was up, until they reached the tiny platform where all four legs of the tower met. They were 70 meters above the rooftop. The last 30 meters to the top were reachable only by steel handholds welded into the tower's side. That high up, even steel swayed in the wind. Han's legs felt as if they were made of string, and his back ached. Scarlet's hair was plastered to her forehead and neck, and she was shivering. The decking tape had run out, and she had a blaster in either hand. Below them, the stormtroopers looked like white dolls. The tower shifted, the metal groaning. Scarlet Hark said.
What?
Down there.
Han leaned to the side, peeking down. Four stormtroopers were struggling with a small plasma cannon, their commanding officer screaming at them, his voice made inaudible by distance.
They can't do that. They'll take down the tower.
Scarlet grinned. For a moment, she seemed less like a rational, calculating master of espionage than a force of nature taking joy in the chaos. Not a soldier, but a criminal.
We may have made them feel a little inadequate. I wonder why they aren't bringing in flyers.
Flyers?
That's what I'd do. Get a few two-person flyers, maybe a combat droid. Shoot us out of this thing without bothering with the ground game.
Han nodded, then rested his head against the metal. 30 meters was a hell of a long climb, but he wasn't sure his body was up for it. He closed his eyes, listening for the faint but familiar scream of engines. Yes, there it was.
Maybe something's keeping those guys busy.
Something like?
Come on, he said. We need to hurry.
The city spread out around them in all directions, gray and hazy and bright with the sun. Flocks of birds swirled below them, passing between the massive buildings. The clouds glowed with sunlight. Han felt the first impact of the plasma cannon in his feet and fingers before he heard the explosion. He kept pushing himself up. Scarlet was just below him, grabbing the handholds as he lifted his feet from them. The wind was cold, the air thin. A second explosion made the transmission tower shudder. The glowing yellow navigation light at the tower's top grew brighter with every moment.
"We're almost out of up, Solo,"
Scarlet Hark said. Her voice was thin and ragged.
"You're never out of up. Look!"
On the horizon, just above the level of the highest buildings, something like an electrical storm was going on. Dark shapes churned and shifted, flashes of brightness too straight to be lightning. And at the front, flying before the storm of flyers and droids, Imperial police and Port Authority enforcers, the beautiful gray smudge of the Millennium Falcon. The tower shuddered again and began to list. Han fired his blaster into the air 3 times. 4. The Falcon shifted, correcting course toward them.
"Get ready,"
he said.
"We don't get to try this twice."
The Falcon dipped a fraction when the ramp extended, then corrected. She was coming in fast, but Chewie wouldn't be able to slow down much with half of Kiorin getting scorched by his exhaust plume. Han pulled himself up to the top of the tower, ignoring the abyss before him. Scarlet clambered up at his side. Her eyes were bright. She was grinning.
"Not a good plan," she said, "but it's got style."
Bolts of energy rained down from the belly of the Falcon, scattering the tiny stormtroopers far below them. The entry ramp was extended, the speed ripping contrails from the moisture in the air. Han breathed deeply, watching his ship grow larger, closer.
"Now!"
he shouted, and jumped. For a terrible moment, he thought his timing was off. A night without sleep, 100-meter climb while being shot at the whole way, and the day before hadn't been much better. Being off by a few hundredths of a second could only be expected. He seemed to hang in the void, his death visible between his feet. Scarlet was a blur to his right, her arms thrown high as if in victory. The ramp hit him in the side, bouncing him up its length. The world went small and quiet for a few seconds. And when he came fully back to consciousness, the only sounds were the shriek of the engines, the hum of the actuators pulling the ramp closed, and Scarlet laughing. He rolled onto his back and looked at her. Her hair was a wild tumble, her mouth a manic grin, and her teeth were bloody where the impact had split her lip. She shook her head as if trying to clear it. She held out her hand and hauled him up when he took it. Han was uncomfortably aware of her body beside his, that he was a man and she was a woman, and that against all odds, they hadn't just died together.
"Well,"
she said, wiping the blood from her mouth.
"So much for the easy part."
Chapter 10.
The Falcon thumped with the sounds of blaster fire hitting her shields. The ship rocked as Chewbacca slammed down the throttle to get away from their pursuers. The Wookiee's howl came from the cockpit as if it were a kilometer away. The metal creaked and groaned, the superstructure of the freighter warping under the strain.
"I'm so sorry, honey. I know this has been rough on you,"
Han said.
"I've had worse,"
Scarlet said, frowning at him.
"And don't call me honey."
"The ship. I was talking to my ship,"
Han said as he ran, limping down the corridor to the cockpit.
"This beating she's taking is because of you. Be nice to her."
Chewbacca was strapped into the co-pilot's chair, frantically pulling at the controls as the Falcon climbed over the city. Green bolts of plasma and turbolaser fire streaked past as the Imperial flyers gave pursuit. A red light flashed a shield overload warning on the panel behind him. Han threw himself into the pilot's seat and gestured at the third chair with his head. Scarlet took the hint and buckled in.
"Hey, pal. Thanks for the save,"
Han said. Chewbacca growled back, waving at all the flashing damage indicators.
"Hey, believe me, Her Royalness will be paying for every scratch when we're done here.
Her Royalness? Scarlet said.
Still not talking about you,
Hans said, then yanked at a control bar to spin the Falcon in a hard bank. A virtual wall of incoming fire flew past them as the ship spun out of its path. When they'd stopped their wild maneuvering, Han looked over his shoulder at Scarlet.
Not everything is about you, you know.
I don't think everything is... she started.
Shush!
Han said, and she sputtered with indignation. He pointed out ahead of them as the sky went from dark blue to black.
Out of atmosphere now. The flyers can't chase us.
Chewie unbuckled from his seat and headed toward the back of the ship.
Hey, where are you going?
Han yelled. Chewie rumbled back at him and kept walking.
Ha! Scarlet said. I'm not the only one who thinks your plan was terrible.
Han spun his chair to face her.
Hey, I got you off that planet in one piece, and got your precious data from one of the most secure installations of the Empire. Now who's the best?
She rolled her eyes at him. Something else occurred to him.
Hey, you speak Wookiee?
No one speaks Wookiee but Wookiees, she said. I mean, I can order a drink or find the bathroom, okay.
Scarlet trailed off, her eyes wide and her face pale.
What?
He began. She shook her head and pointed behind him. He spun his chair around. Four Imperial Star Destroyers were bearing down on them.
Huh, Han said. Probably should have seen that coming.
Hurry, Scarlet said. Get us out of here.
I am hurrying,
Han replied, spinning the ship around and throwing the throttle to full.
Hurry faster, she said.
You keep saying that. It's not as helpful as you think.
Han opened up the ship's internal comm.
Hey, buddy! Gonna need you to get those shields stabilized.
A loud Wookiee yell reverberated through the ship.
Well, how do I know you're already working on things when you don't tell me you're already working on things?
Scarlet unbuckled, moved to the co-pilot seat, and strapped in there.
Tell me what you need.
Keep those rear deflectors angled to bounce the incoming fire,
Han said.
We'll need some time to calculate the jump to light speed.
How much time?
The ship rocked with a lucky long-range shot from one of the Star Destroyers.
More,
Han said, and started punching keys on the computer.
How old is this Navi computer? Are you still running the Menashi Ryu jump protocols?
Scarlet asked, fingers working fast on the deflector controls. She had skills, Han had to admit. He wondered if it would be enough, with four big Imperial destroyers hammering them.
Not so old,
he said defensively.
I've been meaning to upgrade, but I've been busy.
Busy?
Fighting the Empire?
Han snapped, keying in the jump data as quickly as the deck would accept it.
You may have heard of it. Stormtroopers, Death Stars, Darth Vader.
The ship rocked again as the Star Destroyers closed the distance and began landing more hits.
You're awfully testy,
Scarlet said.
Raise your hand if you've fought all those things in the last year,
Han said, raising his hand.
Scarlet grinned at him. Maybe you should keep that on the controls.
As if to punctuate her point, the ship rocked with a barrage of incoming fire.
They've got us in range,
Han said. He twisted the controls, sending the Falcon spinning off in a hard starboard turn. The Star Destroyers were fast and bristling with firepower, but they turned like drunken banthas. He needed to buy a few more seconds for the Navi computer to do its work.
Well, that's disappointing,
Scarlet said, and the ship shuddered under a new wave of incoming fire.
What is?
Those,
she said, as four TIE fighters streaked past in a diamond formation and banked hard to port for a second pass.
Can we outturn them?
We can try.
Let's do.
The deflector alarm shouted an urgent warning at them as the rear shields started to fail.
Chewie!
Han yelled into the comm.
We need those shields up.
A long, loud series of growls echoed through the ship.
Your friend has a real gift for profanity, Scarlet said. How's the Navic computer doing?
It's fine. Almost done,
Han yelled. Then he leaned down to whisper.
Come on, baby. Be almost done.
The TIE fighters came about and streaked toward the Falcon, laser cannons blazing. Han sent the ship into a tight spin, trying to slip the wide but thin hull through the worst of incoming fire. The view through the window became a series of blinding flashes as the shields took hit after hit. A second alarm started blaring out a warning that the front deflectors were failing too.
Chewie!
Han yelled into the comm.
How about... Scarlet started, punching something on the computer. She never finished, because the console went dark in a spray of sparks. She patted at her skirt, keeping it from catching on fire.
What did you do?
Han asked incredulously.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything,
Scarlet yelled back. Han pounded a fist on the console.
Come on, baby, wake up! We're in the middle of a gunfight here!
The console flickered once, then went dark again. Outside, the TIE fighters rolled through another hard bank and lined up a new strafing run. Chewbacca howled from the back, and the console lit back up at the same time the shield warning stopped screeching at them.
See? Scarlet said. I told you it wasn't me.
Good job, pal,
Han said into the comm.
Now can you convince the NavCom to hurry up?
Chewbacca whined his disappointment at the thin praise.
Or we could blow up. Would that be better?
Han asked. Chewbacca grumbled.
He's your only friend, right?
Scarlet asked.
Wonder why.
Chewie's not my only...
Han started, but he stopped talking to send the Falcon into another series of spins to avoid the TIE fighters. A new alarm sounded, warning of the approaching Star Destroyers and their much heavier banks of turbo lasers. The Falcon could handle the TIE fighters for a while, but the big Imperial ships would chew through her shields in seconds if they got in range. Han tapped on the Navic computer's console, encouraging it to go faster.
Luke Skywalker, for instance, he said.
Who?
Scarlet asked, as she shifted the deflectors to deal with the new and deadlier threat of the Star Destroyers.
Another friend of mine,
Han said.
Good friend. Hero of the Rebellion, you know? Very close friend, Luke Skywalker.
I know who he is.
Then why did you ask who he was?
I wasn't actually listening to you, Scarlet said. Can we jump now?
The TIE fighters were no longer strafing them. They were maneuvering to force the Falcon into a turn, just like they were supposed to. Drive the ship toward the heavies and let the big guns of the Star Destroyers take them out. Classic Imperial tactics. Han admired their skill while trying to think of ways to kill them.
Get into one of the turrets, he said.
Scarlet barked out a laugh.
We're not shooting our way out of this.
Can it hurt to try?
We need a miracle.
As if in answer to her statement, the four TIE fighters peeled off at high speed. The Star Destroyers also began a lumbering turn back toward the planet. One by one, all the various alarms on the Falcon stopped squawking. Han held his breath for a moment, but nothing changed. The Imperial ships kept angling away.
They're leaving,
Scarlet said in disbelief. Han leaned back in his chair, hands behind his head.
Did I mention that I'm the best?
You're taking credit for this?
She asked.
I admit,
Han continued, unbuckling to stand up and check on the main navigation computer.
It's not my absolute best work. Five is, I think, my personal record.
Five,
Scarlet echoed.
Star Destroyers. I once evaded five while doing a spice smuggling run off Tatooine. That was my best, as far as I recall. But four is not bad. Four is more than your normal space pilot could possibly hope to deal with.
You are,
Scarlet said, nodding to herself.
You're taking credit for it. You didn't evade them. They left. There's clearly something else going on here. Hold on.
She put Chewbacca's headset to her ear, the loop of it reaching almost the full length of her forearm, and tapped through the signal relays.
I don't know. There's a lot of chatter on the military frequencies, but it's all encrypted. Something's got them spooked. Aren't you worried about that?
Not even a little,
Hans said, banging on the Navi computer with the side of one fist, then dropping back into his chair.
Computer had to reset when the power dropped for a second, but she'll be back in a minute, and then we can finish our jump to light speed. Have you back with your rebellion pals in no time.
You, Scarlet said, are a crazy person. I'm starting to question how much my rebellion pals actually like me if they sent you to get me.
Han leaned back, grinning and putting his hands over his heart dramatically.
You wound me, and after I saved you from the vast might of an evil empire.
Chewbacca stomped back into the cockpit, growling.
Yes, that was good work, Han said. But don't expect any thanks from our friend here. Seems she pays in insults.
Chewbacca growled out a complicated explanation.
Well,
Han said,
then we better fix it fast before our Imperial friends decide to come back.
What was that?
Scarlet asked as Chewbacca left.
I didn't catch him. I'm behind with technical terms in Wookiee.
Chewie says the power reboot blew a few circuits in the Navi computer. Not a big deal. He'll have it back up in no time. But we took a beating otherwise. This trip is going to be expensive. I hope whatever you've got is worth it to the rebels.
Scarlet laughed in disbelief.
Please remember that you didn't do anything but get a shot at until the Empire got distracted and left.
You see, that's an ungenerous view.
And you're calling into question my value? After I spent months working on one of the most dangerous worlds in the Empire?
Hey, sister. I didn't realize it was so important to you to impress me,
Han said with a grin.
Scarlet's lips quirked, but whatever her retort was going to be was lost when the proximity alarm started screeching again. Did they come back? She said.
No,
Han said, looking at the approaching ship.
This is something else.
Scarlet leaned forward, her hands flying over the co-pilot's console.
It's a Sinar Fleet Systems design, she said. It's been modified a lot. It looks like an NM-600 series.
Wait. I know that ship.
The comm crackled and came to life.
Han Solo, my old friend.
Han shook his head in shock.
Bossin? Didn't I shoot you?
Bossin Ray laughed.
Surely you did, my boy. I'm trying to take it philosophical. Difficult, though. You said some hurtful things about me back there. Cruel's a terrible thing to be.
Scarlet started a question at Han. He turned off the comm.
Bossin Ray, bounty hunter. He's the reason I had a hard time finding you. He screwed up your drop in order to catch me.
You're being chased by bounty hunters?
Hello?
Bossin said.
Tell me we're still on speaking terms, boyo. I'd hate to start shooting you needless.
Han turned the comm back on.
Yeah, hi. So, Bossin, old pal, we're on our way out, but you be sure to let Jabba know when you see him that I'm on my way with the money real soon.
Boy,
Bossin growled at him, all pretense of good humor gone.
I think I explained that. I can't go back without you, or it's my head on Jabba's spike. So be a good lad, and prepare to be boarded.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with no on that one. What now?
I could blow you into vapor and bring you back to Jabba in a bottle,
Bossin said, his voice deceptively reasonable. Han killed the comm again.
Chewie, how's that computer reset going?
So just do what I say, and maybe I'll let the Wookiee and the woman go free. That's a deal you won't be offered twice.
He'd never let you go. He'd sell you to the Empire, Hans said to Scarlet.
I believe you,
she replied. Han turned the comm back on.
So yeah, Bossin, we're all not very excited about that deal. Here's another scenario. Why don't you go wait for me on Tatooine, and I'll have the money sent directly to you. You can give Jabba his share, explain the misunderstanding, and everyone wins.
Behind him, the navigation computer gave a series of clicks and restarted. Scarlet moved over to it, then whispered to Han.
Where to?
Anywhere fast,
he mouthed back at her.
Solo, my boy. It hurts that you think I'm so dim about the wits. Even the pain of my severed hand is nothing compared with how your contempt makes me feel. If you ever wondered why you're so unpopular, that might be it. You just think you're so much better than everyone else.
I have lots of friends, Han said.
No, my dear boy, you don't. What you've got are accomplices.
Scarlet was busily programming the jump computer. Chewbacca seemed to have everything running well. Han leaned back in his chair with a grin Bossin couldn't see and said,
You got me there. As always, you see right through me.
I bet you were congratulating yourself on escaping a Star Destroyer, eh?
Scarlet gave him a narrow I-told-you-so look.
Well, Han said, I wouldn't go so far as...
It was me, boy. Might have sent a panicky message on Imperial Channel that a Rebel fleet was inbound. Bigger threat, needing all the resources available to meet inglorious battle or some such. Bounced it off one of their out-system watch posts. Take them a better part of an hour to be sure you weren't a distraction.
That worked?
Han asked, wondering why he'd never thought to do it.
So are you going to make me kill you? Or are you going to shut down your drive and we can handle this in person, like gentlemen? You never know. My good word and Jabba's ear might save you a world of pain.
Chewbacca looked into the cockpit and growled out a question. Han pointed up at the top turret. The Wookiee chuffed and shambled off.
Your concern for my well-being does you credit after I shot your hand off,
Han said.
Are you trying to provoke me? Or are you just stalling for time?
No, not at all, Han said. Just want to make sure I have your attention when I give you my answer.
Well, you've got it.
Bossin was saying, but Han killed the comm channel to him.
Let him have it,
Han said to Chewbacca on the internal comm. The upper turret let loose with a barrage of fire that hammered Bossin's ship, and Han threw the throttle to maximum.
Almost done?
He asked Scarlet.
Nearly, she said. I think that guy really hates you.
I'm not too fond of him. It won't matter in a minute. Chewie, keep hitting him in the face until we jump.
The Wookiee growled back, but the fire from the upper turret never let up.
Okay, Scarlet said. Just about ready.
I hope you know what you're doing. Here we...
Han's go was drowned out by the squawking of a proximity alarm. The ship rocked as Bossin unloaded a barrage of laser cannon fire. The blast struck across the top of the ship, one of them even hitting the cockpit. The shield alarms began blaring again.
Go, go, go!
Scarlet yelled. She was yelling at the computer, not him. Something physical slammed into the back of the Falcon, like a hammer blow. Bossin's ship had fired a missile into them, but the damage didn't seem too severe. A dud, but there would be another one in seconds. Chewbacca charged into the cockpit, howling in anger.
Buckle up, Han told him. We're leaving right now.
Wait, Scarlet said. There's a missile stuck in the ship. Won't it blow up if we...
She never finished. Han pulled back the throttle on the hyperdrive, and the stars disappeared in a swirl of light.
Chapter 11.
The stars were still. Half a dozen warning indicators and error codes blinked and whined from the control boards. A jagged crack ran through the screen in front of him, charred where the battle hadn't quite managed to shatter it. Han leaned back in his seat, took a deep breath, and sighed happily. The tension of battle flowed out of his muscles, leaving him relaxed and a little giddy. Beside him, Chewbacca grunted petulantly.
Mm-hmm. What?
Han said.
It all worked out.
It was bracing,
Scarlet said.
Are we really all right? Or is that missile stuck in your ship going to blow up and kill us all?
One or the other,
Han said, and pushed himself up.
I'll go find out which. Where are we, Chewie?
Chewbacca shrugged magnificently.
Well, see if he can figure it out. We managed one jump. If we can get one more, we'll be fine.
I need access to your computer,
Scarlet said, holding up the stolen data.
I need to get this encryption broken.
You can have whatever Chewie doesn't need,
Han said as he walked out the cabin door.
Calculating the jump gets first priority.
Yes, Captain,
Scarlet said, her tone somewhere between amused and sarcastic.
Damn right,
Han shot back, but nothing could touch his euphoria. Not every fight had left him feeling good, but that one had. When the adrenaline had burned its way through his bloodstream and the fatigue kicked in, he'd probably collapse. But until that happened, there was plenty of work to do. He climbed the ladder up to the gunner's turret. If he pressed his cheek almost against the transparisteel, he could just see where Bossin's missile still protruded from the skin of the ship. It was a gray-green oblong. Depending on how much of it had actually penetrated the Falcon, could have been anywhere from a meter and a half to three. Strands of what looked like cable spread around it. He crawled back down and ran a battery of diagnostics and tests. The missile had cut or crushed part of the power grid, and coolant was leaking badly around it, which was probably what made the ropey-looking things around the missile's entry. There were no traces of explosives or invasive proteins. It wasn't injecting tiny droids into the ship to disassemble her or sabotage her in the middle of a jump. If it had a warhead, it wasn't exposed or sparking. Probably a dud. But he'd still feel a lot better once it was off his ship. Chewbacca shouted out a list of systems that were complaining. The signal from the passive sensor antenna was cutting in and out. One of the freight barge clamps had come open and jammed. A power fluctuation in the acceleration compensator had the hyperdrive generator in safety shutdown. The port shield generator was overheating, probably because of the coolant leak. Han cracked his knuckles.
I've seen her worse, he said.
Chewbacca howled, and from somewhere deep in the belly of the ship, a woman's laughter rose up with the sound of it. Han didn't remember falling asleep. The last thing he could recall clearly was wriggling on his elbows and knees through a crawl space almost too narrow for him, hydrospanner held in his teeth to retune a power coupling for the third time. And then he was in his bunk, swimming up from a darkness as deep and black as space. He rolled over, yawned, and sat up slowly. His right side felt like one continuous bruise, and his back was stiff. He was still wearing the rough black of an Imperial officer, the fabric a maze of wrinkles and oil stains. He stripped the uniform off and threw it away. According to the ship's chrono, he'd been asleep for something like 14 standard hours, and a quick check of the general status board told him Chewie had been hard at work for most of it. Apart from the coolant leak and the occasional hiccup in the passive sensor antenna, the ship was good to go. Or as good as could be expected with a missile still stuck in her backside. Before he pulled his own clothes on, he took stock of his injuries. Black scabs around his wrist from where he'd hung over the shaft outside Scarlet Hark's window. Purple-black bruises on his hip and shoulder where the Falcon had scooped him up. A long, angry scratch across his chest, whose origin he couldn't remember. He was as beat up as his ship. He put a hand to the decking, felt the gentle vibration of the engines.
We made it again,
he said softly.
Real close that time.
He waited for a long moment, as if the ship might answer, and then got dressed. In the lounge, Scarlet and Chewbacca were sitting together at the single small table, eating from bone-colored bowls. Scarlet looked up as he stepped down into the space. Her smile was bright and sharp, and pleased to see him. She wore dark pants and a pale, open-necked shirt that was a little too big for her. He felt as if he'd gone three rounds with a rancor, and she looked like her months of desperation, lies, secrets, and violence had been a long vacation.
Good morning, Captain Sleepyhead, she said.
Same to you, Han replied. Are you wearing my clothes? She shrugged.
Not my first choice in sartorial splendor, but I was packing pretty light this trip.
Han turned to Chewbacca.
You gave her my clothes?
Chewbacca gestured toward his own soft pelt and lifted his massive tawny brows.
Fair point, Han said.
If it's a problem.
No, Han said. It's fine. It's a good look for you.
Scarlet pretended to preen for a moment, then went back to her food. The truth was, with her dark hair down and the tension of danger gone, Han found her considerably more attractive than when they'd met on Sioran. Her smile had settled into an expression of mild amusement, and her eyebrows arched high. The quirks and architecture of her face conspired to give her an edge of constant playful challenge. Han felt an answering smile playing at his own lips as he nodded toward the bowls.
Any of that left?
We saved you some,
she said, nodding toward the counter behind him. Han reached for the third bowl. A mixture of soft green leaves and dark flecks of meat filled it almost to the halfway point. Scarlet took one of the last bites of hers.
You made Sabia?
Scarlet shook her head and nodded toward Chewbacca.
I think my friend here has a little crush on you,
Han said.
He never makes Sabia.
Chewbacca grunted and whined.
I do too appreciate it. Here I am appreciating it right now,
Han said around a mouthful. He turned his attention to Scarlet.
So while we still have a missile stuck on our back, it doesn't look like it's about to detonate. Everything else is solid enough that we'll be able to get you to the fleet.
Scarlet nodded, her gaze fixed on the bottom of her bowl.
About that?
No.
She looked up. Her eyes were bright with feigned innocence.
No?
Whatever it is, no. My job was to fly into the heart of the Empire, find you, and get back out. I already added in stealing data from a high-security intelligence installation. I've done plenty of impossible things. Whatever else it is you're about to ask, the answer is no.
I broke the data encryption. Galassian's codes only got me in partway, but I know some of the security forces' habits, and it was enough. The data file is the full record of the investigation of the data theft, but there are also some hints about what was in the data that got stolen. Galassians found something big. Maybe useful. Certainly dangerous. He's already gone back out on some kind of follow-up investigation, and the Empire is scared blind that word of it is going to leak out before he's done.
And I'm sure all the generals in the Rebel fleet are looking forward to hearing all about it.
The important thing is that they found the thief.
Han took another bite of the sabayé, stopping to pry a bit of the meat from between his teeth with a fingernail.
Answer's still no.
The man who got it works with the Sandave Shared Interest Collective. Ever heard of them?
Sure. They're small-time gunrunners out of Elkhassan and Sunin. Mostly Crandon, but with some humans thrown into the mix. They amounted to something before the Hutts decided to take their toys away,
Han said.
But the information's wrong. Sandave Collective wouldn't have any use for hot Imperial data, no matter what it was about. They're strictly small fry these days.
That's not how they see it,
Scarlet said.
According to Imperial Intelligence, they've got ambitions.
The thief is a human named Hunter Moss. And apparently, he has plans for taking the Collective to the big time. He's trying to parlay the stolen data into a better position for the Collective in general. Or, failing that, himself in particular. And your friends and mine at Imperial Intelligence? They don't like the plan. You know what they're going to do about it?
I'm guessing something unpleasant, Han said.
A full strike force. Shock troopers. 5,000 regular stormtroopers. Special permission from the Emperor to clear any space lanes and supersede any standing orders or Imperial protocol.
Han's eyes went wide, despite himself.
Chewbacca muttered to himself and started gathering the bowls.
Sister, Han said, if this is your idea of talking me into getting involved, your technique's a little rusty. Answer was no before, and it's about 100 times no now.
This data is critical to the Empire, Scarlet said, sitting forward, her elbows resting on the table. Whatever Galassian found, they care about it a lot. Enough to bend rules. And they hate bending rules.
Han chewed slowly, a smile tugging at his lips. He didn't mind the idea of the Empire being the frightened one for once. Chewbacca chuffed, shook his head, and lumbered toward the galley.
They're willing to kill a lot of people to make sure no one finds out what Galassian's up to, Scarlet said.
And I won't be one of them. And more to the point, neither will you. Once you get to the fleet...
Once I get to the fleet, it'll be too late. They staged a dummy strike on the Collective's base on Numenor a week ago. Hunter Moss escaped, but they've mobilized half the long-range scouting ships in the core. According to the data, their orders are to find him and then call in the full strike force to kill him and anybody he might have shared the data with. They'll slag planets if they have to.
Han shoveled the last bit of his sabayé into his mouth, chewed, and swallowed. Scarlet watched him silently. From the pilot's cabin, an alarm squeaked in protest and went silent.
So, Han said, you're saying that instead of doing what I agreed to do, and I've already done more than that, you want me to get between a massive Imperial hunting party and the poor jerk they're about to turn into a grease spot. And you want me to do it just because they wouldn't want me to.
Yes.
Let me tell you exactly why that's not going to happen. First, because saving every half-wit who thinks he's big enough to take on the Emperor isn't my job. Second, because I've got an unexploded missile stuck in my ship. And I'd like to get to a nice friendly port with some bomb disposal technicians who can help me pry it out in a reinforced dock. And third, because the answer is...
The Empire doesn't know where Moss is going. I do. We can get there before him.
The answer is no,
he said. And then...
Hold on. You know where he's heading and they don't? How did you find out?
Chewbacca told me.
Chewie?
Well, he brought me up to speed on a lot of things. I'm the one that connected the dots.
I don't know what dots you're talking about, Han said.
And then the next words died in his throat. The coppery taste of fear filled his mouth even before he knew quite why it was there. A small-time criminal organization looking to parlay stolen Imperial data into a seat at a much larger table. The kind of big table where they decided the future of the galaxy. If he'd been in Hunter Moss's position, there was only one place he'd have gone. The secret conclave of rebels and rogues, criminals and freedom fighters. He'd have gone to Kiamur and made himself into one of the Rebel Alliance's new allies. And so when the Imperial Hammer came down, it would wipe out not just the remnants of Sendave Shared Interest Collective, but every prospective ally the rebels could hope for. Even the ones who didn't come would see the corpses of the ones who had. And more to the point, Leia was there.
Chewie?
Han said, standing up.
Where are you?
Han went to the pilot's cabin and started pulling up star charts, figuring the paths that could take them from the depths of nowhere that presently hid them and into Kiamur. It wasn't the straightest path,
but if he could bend a couple of degrees off it...
Chewbacca appeared in the doorway, wide arms splayed. He groaned and howled, but Han barely heard him. The jump wasn't pretty, it wasn't clean, but it was possible. That would have to be good enough.
I'm warming her up for a jump, he said.
The Wookiee bared his teeth and howled again.
It didn't blow up last time,
Han said.
Maybe it won't blow up this time either. Boston always went cheap on ordnance. That's why he's a bottom feeder, desperate for a score, and we're the heroes of the galaxy.
Chewbacca threw up his hands in exasperation, but Han knew him well enough to see the relief under the theatrics. Scarlet leaned in the doorway, her arms crossed, her eyes a little narrowed, her lips a little wide. She looked like a scientist who'd come across some particularly fascinating and amusing new specimen. Han ignored her.
Where are we jumping to, Captain Solo? The fleet?
He went down the readouts. The coolant leak was messing with a lot of different systems, but none of them so badly that it would keep them out of hyperspace. He thought. He hoped. Scarlet dropped into the co-pilot seat. She looked tiny in the space that usually held Chewbacca.
Are you going to abandon Kiamur?
You want my answer?
I do.
Here's my answer,
Han said, pointing a finger at her and staring from under lowered brows.
Nobody likes a wise guy.
Chapter 12. High in the atmosphere of Kiamur, 1,000 species of birds soared on the permanent updrafts of the planet's vast mountain ranges. Long experience had taught the creatures to avoid the ships that sloped down through the planet's thin atmosphere. Flocks of them swirled around the path of the Millennium Falcon as it burned through the high air, black dots against white clouds like space in negative. Han leaned in over the controls, certain that the next second would leave 100 tiny bodies crashing through the cracked screen, into the landing gear and access panels, damaging the already pounded ship a little more and messily. The birds knew better and kept out of his way. Knife-like mountain ranges of pale stone rose through the cloud cover, veined with green where the local vegetation clung to it like ivy to a wall. The ice caps that topped the mountains were the color of the clouds, and deep valleys between the peaks dropped 5, 6, even 10 kilometers deep. The crosswinds made navigation tricky, and the walls of stone and ice made it dangerous.
Are you sure we're in the right approach? Han asked. Because I'm not seeing anything.
Chewbacca bared his teeth and howled.
I know I'm the pilot, Han said. But you're the one who...
There,
Scarlet said, leaning over Han's shoulder to point to an off-colored smear on a cliff face. The gray of metal, with a blocky shape at one side. Laser cannons. The first line of defense of Talistin City, if he didn't count the birds, the wind, or the stone. They sped past it, the fortification swiveling its weapons to track them. The radio squawked to life.
Hey, unidentified freighter. We expecting you?
No, Han said. We didn't have time to file a flight plan.
That's gonna be rough, then.
We're here with the, Alderaan Refugee Relief Cooperative, Han said. Part of the delegation.
Oh, hey, you Rebel Alliance? I can respect that. But it doesn't mean we got anywhere to put you.
Chewbacca whined as the valley narrowed, mountain ranges on either side coming perceptibly closer.
Think you could check on that for us? Han asked into the radio. Because if I need to pull up out of here, I should probably do it soon.
Sure, hold on.
Along the cliff face to their left, a massive snake-like creature longer than the Falcon clung to the stone, its sides glistening with golden scales. Han tapped the console impatiently. Chewbacca grunted, slowing the airspeed. The snake thing turned placid black eyes toward them and opened its gigantic mouth.
How's our fuel?
Chewbacca yowled an answer.
That's too bad.
Well, Scarlet said, you can tell it's not the Empire.
Yeah, Han agreed. I'll take inefficiency and corruption over well-regulated malice every time.
A guidance signal clicked on, and the radio squealed back to life.
All right, unidentified freighter. You're in dock 4, sleep number 3. Gonna be a fine for not putting in a flight plan, though.
A what?
Han said.
I don't make the rules, Papa. You don't like it, you can pull up now.
How much of a fine?
Supposed to be 800 credits, but you seem like a nice guy. 400, we call it good.
Inefficiency and corruption every time?
Scarlet asked with a sharp smile.
We're coming in,
Han snarled.
Welcome to Kiamar. Enjoy your stay, right?
Tolliston City squatted in the depths of a narrow valley, its buildings pressed close together on the few precious kilometers of nearly flat ground. At the densest part of the city, structures also climbed up the cliff faces to either side. The vast mountains towering above left the streets in near permanent shadow, except for a few hours in the middle of the day when the sun shone straight down into it. It was like a city at the bottom of a well. Han followed the guide signals into a slit dug into the mountain's side. Across the valley, dozens more like it glowed. Arched caves in the pale rock crowded with transports and freighters and low-powered fighters peeking out of them. The air of Kiamar smelled of moisture and wood, like being in a rainforest. An early model LOM protocol droid made its way toward them. Its breastplate was mottled by old damage that had been pounded back into shape and covered with a cheap patina. Han let Chewbacca discuss exactly how much they were going to pay in docking fees and taxes, while he made his way slowly around the Falcon, surveying the damage from the outside. The Imperial fighters and flyers had done a pretty good job. Scorch marks blackened the ship's side, and the smell of burned-out circuit boards and blown actuators was sadly familiar. The missile, if it really was a missile, was solidly in the skin of the ship. The ropey things around it were just frozen coolant. There were visible structures coming from the gray-green oblong and anchoring themselves to the metal hide of the Falcon. Scarlet stepped to his side, her arms crossed like a reflection of his own stance.
Tracking beacon? She said.
Yeah.
So your friend Bossin knows where we are?
Yeah.
That's a pity.
Well, Han said, maybe we'll get lucky, and he'll jump in during a massive Imperial assault.
They stood together silently for a long moment.
Seriously, though, I'll get Chewie to pull that out first thing,
Han said.
Good plan, Scarlet said.
Once the accounts were settled and the old droid limped its way back toward the business offices, Chewbacca hauled out the repair kit. Han and Scarlet headed through the carved stone tunnels down into the city. Thin, awkward rickshaws haunted the streets, hauled by nervous-looking lizards and their handlers. A walrus-faced aqualish woman paced back and forth along the shadowed pavement, offering ship parts at a discount. The security patrol droids hummed through the air, ignoring everything. High above, the thin strip of actual sky was shifting from the hazy blue of late afternoon toward the gold of evening. Han had been in 1,000 places like it, all across the galaxy. The details were different everywhere, but the sense was the same. Some had been as large as star systems, others as small as a back room in a cantina. They were the niches of the universe where authority meant a little less, where freedom was a little more available, and the scope of negotiation might include hiding the bodies of people who got too aggressive about their pricing. Justice could mean going before some sort of local magistrate, or it could mean doing the obvious thing and tipping the bartender for the trouble of cleaning up the mess. They were violent places, and they were joyful. And they didn't last. The food tended to be worse, and the music better. It was the only kind of place where the representatives of a dozen illegal groups and religions and political movements could come to negotiate. Any place more controlled, whether the control came from the Empire, or a hut, or the Black Sun Crime Syndicate, would keep away exactly the people who were needed for that conversation. Han breathed deeply, and felt a tension he'd barely known was there, let go.
It's good to be home, he said.
You're from Kimmer?
Scarlet asked, raising her hand to flag down a lizard rickshaw.
Never been here before, and I don't aim to stay here long. It's just not the core.
The rickshaw driver, a Dresselian with a dark green lesion above his left eye, nodded to them and snapped the leather lead of his draft lizard.
Where to?
He asked.
Same place everyone else has been going,
Hans said, hauling himself up to the rickshaw's seat. He put his hand down to help Scarlet up, but she was already on the other side, clambering aboard without aid.
The Conclave Hive,
the driver said.
You with the Arthos House?
The who?
Arthos House,
the driver said, sliding onto the lizard's thin, anxiously shifting back.
Are you missionaries?
No,
Hans said.
Good,
the driver said and spat.
Can't stand the blasted religious.
The lizard started off, going from dead stop to full speed without any transition in between. The streets of the city were narrow, dark, and crowded. Speeders crowded against the lizard rickshaws. Barge droids lumbered through intersections without bothering to check whether traffic on either side looked like it would stop for them. The cushions in the rickshaw were old and stained, and sank in at the middle so that Han and Scarlet drifted toward each other, pulled into contact by gravity. Her gaze flickered over the streets, up into the stone and ivy terraces they passed, but her attention seemed turned inward. The voices of street vendors called out in a dozen different languages, offering everything from fresh-picked fruit to computer hardware to weapons.
I have a question, she said. What you said before about how, if the rebels win, they'll just turn into another thing to rebel against. Did you really mean that? Or were you just trying to sound impressive?
Han smirked.
I can say what I mean and still be impressive.
Her eyes weren't hard, but they weren't soft either. A beggar ran out into the street, and the lizard lurched around her. Han shrugged.
Sure, I meant it.
So if we win, you'll turn against us?
I'm very consistent, he said. If we wind up on opposite sides of this, it won't be me that changed.
Scarlet thought about that for a moment.
You think all governments are the same?
I think anyone who's telling me what I can and can't do is the same. I take it you don't.
I think you can hold water in a cupped hand and you can't in a fist,
she said. Then,
that's a metaphor.
I know it's a metaphor.
I wasn't sure because
I know what a metaphor is.
The driver twisted around on the lizard to look back at them.
You too sure you ain't missionaries?
He asked.
I'm positive, Hans said.
The Conclave Hive was a single, massive dome that stretched from the mountain face at one side of the valley all the way to the other. It was the color of the mountains, with tier after tier of arches rising